This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Well, this is Betting Weekly Extra Time European Edition. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck. Senior handicapper Steve Wiss is alongside me, as are Daniele Fisichella and James Eastham. Title won in Italy last week. Congratulations to Inter and indeed to Daniele,
yes,
who's rocking his vintage Inter shirt today. Daniele, tell us a story here, because this is a shirt you've had for quite some time, I believe.
Quite a while, yes. Pretty much for 32 years. So you can work out how old I was, but it still fits me. And it is from 91-92 season. Now, they either made a massive those years, or I was a big boy, a massive boy, yeah, or my parents bought the XXL. I don't know. It still beats me. It was in the cupboard, and I wanted to sport it for the day after the day. Either was correct. Of course, there are gonna be two stars on this one. On the next one, I might buy, but this time I'll make sure I buy the size that.
That's two stars for 20.
Scudetti, yes, that's just
yours, yeah. Okay, brilliant stuff. We're going to talk about Inter a little bit later on, because Daniele's got to play for that one. You were just suggesting off air, James, if Marseille win the Europa League, you're gonna rock your old Marseille jersey.
Yeah, 1993 Marseille jersey I've got when they won the European Cup from that era. And like Daniele, it still fits me as well, even though I was at high school when I got given that. So we'll see. But, you know, it's early days. They've still got the semi-final to get through. So
indeed they have, yeah. Look, myself and Steve are saying nothing about shirts we had when we were younger, because I'll tell you what, mine will definitely not fit me. James, just briefly on Paris Saint-Germain, they could win the title this weekend. Have I got that right? Is there a sense here that Luis Enrique has got the balance right, or are we just saying this after timing because PSG are through to the semis of the Champions League and the title about to be won?
Yeah, they could win their title this weekend, Dan. They're 11 points clear with four games to go. I think he has got the balance right in the league, in the sense that the rotation he's done in the league recently hasn't affected performances. They beat Lorient 4-1 in midweek. They beat Lyon 4-1 last weekend, even though they rested players. I still think he got very lucky against Barcelona in the Champions League quarterfinals. I thought his defensive selection in the first leg was weird. And then Barcelona had a red card in the second leg, which helped. But they've got to their semi-finals and they're about to win the league. So at the moment, it looks like a successful season for PSG and for Luis Enrique.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what PSG do this weekend. James has got to play in their game. We're going to start, as per usual, though, with Steve's two-unit pick. It's Mainz-Köln. Mainz minus 180, Köln plus 475. The draw is plus 325 here. Steve, your two-unit plays have been absolutely firing on all cylinders recently. But I am a little bit concerned about this one. How are you, Steve?
All right, Dan. I'm doing okay, thank you. talking about shirts there, and if Marseille win the Europa League, I think the shirt comes off. That might make the show X-rated, so maybe not. But yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm ready for hopefully catching another two-unit winner.
Yeah, you're right. Look, the only reason I say this, as you know, I do the numbers when it comes to P&L. And Mainz and Köln are not two teams that would have made you money this season when it comes to two overs. And I know I always talk about the over 2.5 line, and you've got over 2.75 here. But I think there's a bit of explaining to do here. Come on.
Yeah. Well, Mainz have served us pretty well recently. I think I cashed at least, I have two times two unit plays on them against Darmstadt Hoffenheim, I do believe. Yeah. So it served us pretty well. And Mainz are a much changed side. Mm. The explanation for them is easy. The manager, Bo Henriksen, I always forget which Bo they've got. They've had so many. Has come in and they're far more aggressive. They're scoring more goals. A slight concern here that Jason Lee is suspended. For
Jason Lee, the old Forest striker.
Guy with a pineapple on his head. Yeah, I remember him. He's suspended. So, Yeah, there's actually loads of suspensions, by the way, in Bundesliga this week. Do check them out. If you're betting on any game in Germany, there's about 15 suspensions across the board. It's crazy. But, yeah, so Mainz are a lot different now. Köln are a really weird case. They are the most underachieving side offensively and the most overachieving side defensively. They've conceded 13 goals less than they should have done. And I was looking at Weisgart this morning at the goalkeeper. And weirdly, his expected goals conceded is only like one better than it should have been. So I don't know what the hell's been going on there. Teams must simply miss chances against them, or they've had some insane blocks on the line. I don't, it's really strange. But the fact is that Köln matches should have had way more goals in them. Now, it is a problem that they don't score goals. But this is now the situational position where I've got to like the overs. It's one of my theory games. It's 17th against 15th in the table. Köln are 5 points adrift of safety. They've got to win this game, really, I think. I don't think they can afford to come away here with a draw. They've got to go for it. So, you know, as soon as one goal is scored, I think the match really opens up. Mainz are in decent form. They're at home. And, you know, they themselves might fancy escaping relegation entirely because a new team has come into the mixer suddenly, and it's your boys, Borkum, Dan.
I know.
Suddenly, they're in trouble. I mean, they play Friday night, so we don't know the result of that game. But, you know, I think suddenly these two sides are thinking maybe we can survive. But I think this is going to be an open match. It's going to be one end-of-season fixture between like two relegation rivals that it could become something crazy, like 2-2 or 3-3 randomly, where no one really expects it coming. You're right. The stats over the season point to unders, don't they? And I've got a feeling after this match is done on Sunday, we might get some tweets saying, oh, they only scored so many goals on average or whatever, and we got like a 3-3 draw. Hopefully that's the case. We go over 2.75 goal line here, -113 for two unit play. So even, you know, it's really as long as three goals are scored, we're making something, aren't we? So take the overs in this one.
Overs in Mainz against Köln. Let's get to Bologna against Udinese, which is 9 a.m. Sunday. Steve's selection, incidentally, Sunday 11:30. So 9 a.m. Sunday, Bologna, Udinese, Bologna -175, Udinese +510, draw +285 here. No Lewis Ferguson, Danielli, he missed last week's win at Roma. He's going to be out for a long time, isn't he? What's the
six
story
months
with Ferguson?
Yeah, yeah. Crucial.
This
crucial
is an ACL.
ACL, 6 months, so missing the Euros as well. Big blow for Bologna and Scotland, of course. But they were magnificent at Roma. You wouldn't tell they were missing the best players in the game.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, do you think he would have left Bologna in the summer if he'd have been fit? Do you think he was on the cusp of a move back to Britain or not?
Well, I mean, Bologna would have made, whenever they sell him, they're gonna make a massive financial gain because they bought him only for 2 million from Aberdeen. And you know, I think Bologna are in the state of mind that kind of develop players and move them on. And you feel it, the time for Ferguson might have been right to move on, but of course, with these big injuries, everything is under a cloud now.
Yeah, did miss him, as you say, with that big win against Roma. What's your play for Bologna Udinese?
Bologna to win convincingly, and they're going to go for a nation handicap -0.75, which pays -134. So as long as they win by one goal margin, you win something. And these are two unit picks. I think when you take into account how good Bologna have been, I think the price actually it's quite short for this win. They only lost one in the last 13 against Inter. And since 21st of January, only Inter got more points in the table than Bologna. They play well. They take risks as well, has to be said. Roma could have scored a couple goals, but they got so much better quality of players overall than Udinese. Udinese, on the other hand, who played tonight, the remaining 20 minutes against Roma in very controversial circumstances. Roma didn't want to play so early, and with a new man on the bench, Cannavaro. Risky move for the Pozzo family. I think they took somebody, they hired somebody outside of the circle of the big known names, but also somebody with no experience in Serie A. What is he actually going to give them? Maybe a last shock to the system. Udinese staring down the barrel of the first relegation since 1992. They underperformed up front. They should have scored 12 goals. They should have at least 12 more points based on expected goals, but that means really they lack the cutting edge. I think Bologna wins this one easily. -0.75 on the Asian handicap for the hosts.
And just before we move on, where does Thiago Motta manage next season, do you think, Danielle?
He hinted he might want to stay and play in the Champions League with Bologna and take a bit of a Xabi Alonso approach, if you like. You know, just wait a little bit longer. Of course, next season, massive season for Bologna. They play in Europe in the Champions League. No pressure whatsoever to qualify, and probably a season to enjoy. But, you know, it's very difficult to repeat this year's feast, especially, you know, if a couple of players will go. I think it's the right choice.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens, certainly. Let's get to James' first selection and a two-unit play. We feature Paris Saint-Germain against Le Havre, 3 p.m. Saturday Eastern. Paris minus 286 Le Havre, 7-1 shots here, draw just over fours. Paris Saint-Germain, brilliant in midweek. I've written down here, that's because I saw one of the goals and nothing else. Title could be won this weekend, as we've mentioned already. Mbappe, does he play in this one ahead of Champions League? What's the story? What's the news from the Paris camp regarding their star man?
I don't think he will play here, Dan, because he did play in midweek. He played last night, as we're recording this on Thursday. He scored two goals in PSG's 4-1 win against Lorient. So I'd be very surprised if he started two games in a row in the league just before the Champions League semi-final first leg. So I'm expecting him to be on the bench here and maybe not feature at all, because that started happening with him as well recently in the league. But my pick is still on PSG, even if Mbappe doesn't feature. I'm back in the minus 1.5 on the Asian handicap.
Sorry, James, just on the prices here. When I looked at that Paris Saint-Germain price at minus 286, I'm almost thinking here, given Le Havre's poor form, that Mbappe not playing is factored into that. Is that fair?
Possibly is, yes. I was surprised that you can get them on the handicap at plus 100 yeah. here. Minus 1.5 at plus 100. So you're essentially backing on PSG to win the game by two or more goals. This is a PSG team who've just beaten Barcelona 4-1, just beaten Lyon 4-1, just beaten Lorient 4-1. And as you say, they're playing the weakest side in League One at the moment in Le Havre, who've lost 8 of their last 10 matches. So you've got PSG at home here. You need them to win by two goals, and a win would clinch the league for them. I think they will be motivated, even though they'll obviously have one eye on that Champions League semi-final against Dortmund next Wednesday night. And I think a crucial factor, Dan, is that we've seen in the last few weeks, even if they do leave Mbappe out and maybe some of the other regular starters, they should still have enough to win this game comfortably, because they've been doing that when they've rotated. Gonçalo Ramos got two goals in the win last weekend against Lyon. I'd expect him to start here, and he'll be keen to prove himself. Marco Asensio has played very well recently. Lucas Beraldo, the defender, would probably play here because he probably won't start in the Champions League. He scored last weekend as well. So the second string PSG side is still a lot stronger than the first choice Le Havre side. And I think the players who do come in here, if, as we expect, Luis Enrique does rotate, what an opportunity to impress and to help PSG clinch the league title in front of their home fans. And for some of those players I've mentioned, it would be their first title since moving to Paris Saint-Germain. So obviously a team with Mbappe in it would be stronger, would have more chance of scoring. But I still think Paris's chances of winning the game by a couple of goals at home in these circumstances against such weak opposition are pretty good. So yeah, I was slightly surprised when I saw the price. I thought that plus 100 on the Asian handicap might be nearer to a minus two goal start. With this pick, you just need them to win by a couple of goals and you've got a winner. So that's the pick. It's PSG minus 1.5 on the Asian handicap, and it's available at plus 100.
Can I just add on that game, Dan?
Yeah.
About Le Havre, I mentioned them last week, plus 225 to go down automatically, relegation. They're still plus 150 to be automatically relegated, which I think is a big price, because they just don't look like getting a point anywhere at the moment. Lorient are only two behind them. And yes, they are losing fixtures. But I mean, Lorient have got to play Clermont still at home. Mm. Now, it is the last game of the season. That might be enough, you know, if Le Havre keep losing. And Clermont have actually, don't rule Clermont out completely. They've got some winnable fixtures as well. So I still think Le Havre to get automatically relegated plus 150 is a big price. And by the way, James, I know you've been waiting to take PSG again. They've been a staple of you this season. Yeah. You've just been frustrated, haven't you, about the scheduling and the team selection?
I love PSG at home. I know some people oppose favourites. I'm the opposite. I love them at home.
That is the play. Minus 1.5 on the Asian handicap against Le Havre, who've still got Strasbourg at home, Nice away, and Marseille at home, their final three fixtures after the game against Paris Saint-Germain. Hot Dogs next. They came back to form a couple of weeks ago and then fell completely off last week. Let's see if we can get back on track with the Dogs, who are still in profit, I think, Steve, aren't they? Still in profit for the year?
They are, yeah.
Just. three plays all on Sunday. Steve, you're first up. You go to Ligue 1 here, Rennes against Brest. What's the big price?
I'm getting really frustrated with my own personal Hot Dog. It's been a lean run. I've been winning the two-unit play, but the Hot Dog has been a struggle. And last week,
has it been vegan Hot Dog? Sorry for all the vegetarian vegans out there.
It has, unfortunately. It's been lean pickings. And I mean, how did I not win that last week? An overhead kick with the last.
Tell me about it. I did the game. Shocker.
Unbelievable. And, you know, I think I've mentioned to you, Dan, recently, I actually have a short list of Hot Dogs each week. And option two and three have all won recently. So I'll tell you what option two and three were this week for me.
Go on, quickly.
Draw in the Seville derby, which we're going to talk about later.
Okay, yeah.
Lens to win against Marseille, which we're going to talk about later as well. Right. And this is the one I've gone with. I've gone Rennes minus one Asian handicap against Brest, plus 260. I've got kind of good feelings about this because the last time I took Brest on this handicap, at least I got a push. I didn't lose the pick. But look, Brest all year for me, I've said they will regress. They've finally shown signs of it with the results. They've lost their last two games, the thriller against Lyon, and then they got beat 2-0 by Monaco at home last week. And I think the pressure's just starting to come on them a bit. They were looking over their shoulders. I mean, if Nice get another win this weekend, top four might be under threat for Brest. And for me, Rennes are just the better side anyway. They're underachieved this season. They're down in seventh place. They need to get back into Europe. So they're fighting hard for every, you know, I thought they put a really good performance up last week against Nantes. I think they're maybe over their dodgy run now. They want to show their regional supremacy. That they really, Rennes often raise their game in the Brittany derbies. This is another one of the Brittany derbies. Brest haven't beaten them in any of their last 14. So this is not a great fixture for them. Jeremy Pignard's in charge, the referee, tends to dish a lot of cards out, gives a lot of penalties out. Watch out for my man Benjamin Bourigeaud for Rennes anytime, always worth a look. And Brest, I've noticed the last two games, have lost their discipline with the cards a bit, which doesn't bode well when you've got a card-happy ref, does it? So there could be a red card here. I just think they're going to get very frustrated, Brest. The pressure's really starting to apply on them. They've lost the last two meetings at this venue, 3-1 and 2-0. That would cover this bet, this minus one Asian handicap bet. So I just need them to win the game, Ren, by one goal and we're not losing anything. If they win by two or more, then we get in a big price winner at plus 260. So, I just think Brest, whilst they're now in this sort of struggling phase, they might get beaten quite easily. Ren, really, let's be realistically honest, are far superior in terms of squad quality and... As I say, but what I saw last week, I think Rennes get the job done with a bit to spare here. So I really am quite confident I get at least a push on this minus one Asian handicap on Rennes at plus 260.
We have got another Rennes play a little bit later on the show from James Woodson. Let's get James's Hot Dog, shall we, while we wait for Daniele to come. We might need to get Daniele to dial back in. James, this is the biggest Hot Dog I think we've had of the season. We've had leans, obviously, from yourself that have cashed at bigger prices, but this is a big one, James.
Yes, so I've moved away from my usual market of over 0.5 shots on target in League One because I couldn't find a Hot Dog there this week. So I've picked a player to get a yellow card in the League One matches this weekend. The player being Johan Gastian of Clermont. He's plus 440 to get a yellow card this weekend. So a little bit on Johan Gastian. People may not know who he is. Age 36, he's a Clermont midfielder. Been a good player down the years, was nicknamed the Xavi of League Two in the days when Clermont were a League Two side. He helped them win promotion. Really good footballer. Very good technical player. I actually think a more apt comparison might be the Paul Scholes of League Two, because while he is very good on the ball, he's not the best tackler. And he's also not averse to breaking up the play with a tactical foul if necessary, Johan Gastian. So as well as being good pass for the ball, he's picked up an awful lot of yellow cards in his career. That's why this is a value pick. So on the stats on Johan Gastian, he's had 7 yellow cards, Dan, in 24 appearances this season. That's just over... Yeah, it's just under a card every 3 games. In the last 6 seasons, he's averaged a card every 4 matches. So on that basis, the plus 440 here to pick up a yellow card is a really big price. I was gobsmacked when I saw it. And I think the type of game we can expect this weekend also feeds into this, Pip, because Clermont are stranded at the moment at the bottom of the League One table. They're 7 points from absolute safety with only four games to go. I can see this being a really open match because Clermont have to go for it. And their opponents, Rants, are still in the race for a place in Europe. So I can see plenty of scenarios where Johan Gastion is turned and facing his own goal here in midfield. And at 36, in those circumstances these days, he does tend to make the odd foul. So, yeah, it is a big price, but I'm quite excited to see how this goes because I do think it's overpriced. I think this is a really good opportunity on a player who does pick up a lot of cards. So that's the pick. It's Johan Gastion, and it's plus 440 to get a yellow card.
Yeah, lots of ticks in the right boxes for this play. Obviously, we know that not every state in America you can play on the cards, but we know that many of you can do. So get stuck into that one. Midday Sunday for Daniele's at play, who we welcome back. Napoli-Roma. Daniele.
The Derby of the Sun. That's what it's called in Italy. It's not really a derby, but because it's the two biggest southern cities. I mean, I don't know, maybe just marketing. Anyway, Roma. Yeah, probably. Roma lost against Bologna. It is understandable after such a grueling run of fixtures, including the two games against Milan. But, you know, probably the worst is yet to come for Roma. To go to Napoli, to play Juventus, play Bologna, twice the German champions. And probably of all the games, including those 20 minutes at Udine they're going to be played tonight, this is the most winnable of the lot. That's why I go for Roma Asian Handicap 0 plus 180, because Roma look more of a collective and tactically better drilled under De Rossi. Napoli still continue to look like relying too much on the individuality, on the individuals. Do you know who the team would keep the ball the most in Serie A? Napoli. Well, they scored 29 goals less than leaders Inter. In the first half against Empoli, they had 71% ball possession, only one shot. Empoli had six. Napoli keep continuing conceding cheap goals. Cross from the flank, header from the center forward in between the two defenders. You can count at least 9 or 10 this season. Home form for Napoli is very poor. They will be 11th in the table. They score less goal at home than Cagliari. For Roma, they only failed to score 4 times away from home. Both teams to score, by the way, would have been a winning bet in 12 out of 16 Napoli home games. So that could be another angle, but because it's a hot dog, I'm going to go for a Roma Asian Handicap 0 plus 180. If they draw, you get your money back.
Roma on the Asian line, 0 plus 180, the pick from Daniele. For the hot dog, Marseille-Lens next up. This is 3 p.m. Sunday for Steve's second selection. Marseille are the favourites here at plus 138 with Lens plus 190. We saw, and we've referenced it already, Steve, the spectacular, and then the stupid from Faris Moumbagna, who was sent off, of course, in midweek. Brilliant goal against Toulouse last second to get that 2-2 draw. A couple of 2-2 draws recently for Marseille. What do we like here? Just in fact, just before we go into that, very, very quickly, Steve, on Moumbagna, because he's a former Bird of Glimp player. I mean, is he a player that you think is going to be successful at a club like Marseille?
It's funny. Me and James were just talking about him yesterday when we were doing a little test room here. And do you know what? He came under a bit of criticism, didn't he, James, from one of the commentators, Christophe Dugarry, wasn't it?
He's had a lot of abuse, not abuse, that's too strong a word. He's had criticism this week from some of the pundits in France for what they consider to be poor technique. I think he's a poor technical footballer. Been a bit of a talking point in the French media. Obviously, there was plenty of technique on show with that overhead kick last week, Dan. I think they're more referring to his ability to contribute in general play for Marseille, which some of the pundits, leading pundits in France, feel is sorely lacking. But Steve will know better than I will about the quality he does have, because they've spent €8 million on him from Scandinavian football. So he's obviously shown something.
Yeah, end of the day, he's okay. Maybe there's better technical players out there, but he's physically really strong beast, and you need that in soccer. And I think his positioning is excellent. He knows where to be to put the ball in the back of the net. And let's give him some slack. He's actually not had any proper time off since, the winter of 2023, really, because he's played the whole Scandinavian season and then he's gone to Marseille. So let's cut in some slack. And I think he's got something about him. I like his attitude. I think he's a top player, and I think he could do really well for Marseille. So
I can say he's got a rest this weekend because I presume he's suspended, Steve. Yes. What's your play for this one?
Yeah, the play is Lons on the draw, no bet, or zero Asian handicap to be exact, at +110. And I think, to be honest, I'm being a bit of a pussy here. I really probably should just go straight all out on the money line at +190. I said this was very nearly my hot dog, so you can guarantee that Lons are going to win. This is just not a good spot for Marseille. This is their sixth match in all comps since the 5th of April, fourth game in 11 days. Yes, we're talking about this scheduling thing, so I'm sure there's some people out there who will be in the comments saying this is not a factor. But
Marseille
have had a lot of bad injuries recently, suspensions, all sorts. The squad's not as in-depth as you would want it to be. They've got a huge game upcoming against Atalanta. Let's be realistically honest now. Their whole season rests on the Europa League. I actually personally hope they don't even qualify for Europe domestically. Obviously, I wouldn't mind them winning the Europa League and getting in the Champions League, but I think Marseille were better off having a clean slate next season rather than being in, say, the conference or something daft. The Lons have had a whole week off. They had a win last week. They're fighting to get back into Europe themselves. They've actually got an incredible record here. They have won four of the last five matches against Marseille, including the last three consecutive at the Velodrome. How many sides can say that down the years, apart from, say, PSG? Like, you don't just rock up here and win 3 years in a row. It's mad. So they it's a fixture to obviously get themselves up for. The manager's really good tactically. And I think Marseille could be there for the taking. There might be a rotation and all sorts, tired legs against a long side who I think tactically are probably better and, you know, should be fresh as a daisy. So I'm taking a bit of security here, tie no bet or the zero Asian handicap. But I can't believe Lons are such a big underdog, actually, in under the situation. Very happy to back them on this line. +110. We're still getting plus money bet, Dan. So I'm not going to moan if they do win.
If you want to play on the money line, you can do. One that was on the shortlist of hot dogs for Steve. Juventus-Milan is a midday Saturday game for Daniele. Juve plus money favourites, but only just. Milan at +270 here, the Derby d'Italia. What's the mood with both clubs, Daniele, before we get your play here? Not the season that either really would have wanted, I guess, but they're probably going to get over the line in the Champions League rather than later to qualify for next season. And I guess for Juve, they needed to get back into the competition, didn't they, after missing it?
Yeah, I think for Juve, the fact that they qualified to the Coppa Italia final midweek, although they play really badly against Lazio, kind of sweetened the pill, though the fact that Inter won the league just 24 hours before. Juve have achieved the bare minimum, really. Top four finish, well, it could even be top five now, it doesn't really matter. And a cup final. Milan, a decent season, but the inferiority complex against Inter remains. Yeah, probably the worst ever week. Knocked out of the Europa League by Roma. Lost to Inter. Really cheap and avoidable goal conceded. Yes, and Inter brilliance have reduced glorified friendly. Hooray.
Pioli and Allegri, are they both going to be there next season, do you think?
No.
No, that was a short no. Have we lost Daniele again? No, he's still there. Are they going to be there?
I think... No. I think Allegri more likely than Pioli. Pioli's gone. Pioli is a dead man walking, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic axe is going to come down sooner rather than later. Lopetegui is considered the front runner. Maybe Allegri can manage to find himself to save himself by saying, look, I qualified you from Champions League. We are in a cup final. It's an okay season. But, as a title challengers, they were really, really poor, I must say.
What's the play in this one?
Both teams to score, -117. Because there is nothing at stake, and is worth less than the Community Shield in England, this game now. Probably it could be even more open and it could be entertaining, but not because the two teams are playing particularly well, but because it's got so many pitfalls at the moment. Although only five Juventus home games have gone over 2.5 goals this season. Milan are shocking away from home in terms of defense. They conceded 29. Only three teams, Frosinone, Salernitana, and Sassuolo, had done worse than them. But they are the teams that scored the most away goals in the first halves. And I find out that Juve have only scored 8 goals in first halves at home, which tells you the story of their approach. They're often too remissive. They cannot take the lead. They cannot impose themselves. But can they score at least a goal against Milan? probably they can. Juventus, they've only kept three clean sheets in the last 12 games, only two wins in the last nine. Really difficult to pick a winner. I go for goals. Hopefully, the fear of not losing won't prevail. Otherwise, really, it's going to be a drab affair. Both teams to score minus 117.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Minus 117, Juve, Milan off the back of a an okay week, obviously, for Juve, for Milan, obviously one that they want to forget pretty quickly. Rembrandt, we've talked about with the hot dog, of course, with Steve, but we've got another play from James here. This is 11:05 on Sunday. Renard, the favourites, plus 125, Brest, 220. But it's the goal line that we're looking at here, James. And I'm going to put the same question to you that I put to Steve with his two-unit play. Both have failed to make money for long-term players over 2.5. The line is slightly lower here for the Asian goal line. But what's going to change here for Rennes and Brest? Because you're going overs.
Yes, I'm going over 2.25 goals here, down at minus 129. So if there's exactly two goals in the game, then you lose only half your stakes rather than losing the full stakes, as you would if you went on the over 2.5 goal line. If you have three goals or more in the game, then you make a profit. So you're absolutely right. If you look at the stats on these two sides this season, this wouldn't have been a particularly profitable play. And I've looked at it even on the half season as well, since we entered the second half of the season, where the goals count in France generally has ticked up a little bit. Even on that basis, this may not have made you a profit either. But a lot of my thinking behind this pick and going overs is to do with the collapse that we've seen from Brest, which Steve's already mentioned. They've been really defensively solid for most of the season. Then it's gone horribly wrong for them in the last few weeks. Brest have now conceded 10 goals in their last three matches, losing all three of them. And I suspect they may struggle now to get that defensive solidity back, because I think it's been a bit of a shock to their system, having done so well for so long and overachieved this season, to have conceded 10 goals in three games. I think they'll go into this game really nervous, away from home, against a Rennes side who, as Steve has said, probably on paper are a stronger side than Brest anyway. So I can see plenty of chances here for Rennes. And I think Brest, who are competing to claim a Champions League place against all the odds, they're going to have to respond in type here and rely more on their attackers than their defenders, because they simply can't rely on the back four anymore. The two centre-backs at Brest, Chardonnay and Brassier, and the goalkeeper Bizo, they've been excellent, as I say, up until the last three or four games. But they've looked wobbly, and I think Rennes will play on that. I think they'll push them really hard. Rennes are also going for a place in Europe. They're seventh in the league table at the moment. The top six will definitely be good enough for a place in Europe. So seventh might be, depending on the French Cup final, but Rennes can't really rely on that. So they've got everything to go for here, because it's really important for a club like Rennes to get into Europe. So it's one of those games with four games to go where there's something at stake for both teams. And as I say, looking at how Brest have played, I think we're going to see a game which is decided by the attacks here going at each other, rather than it being a tighter, more tactical defensive game. So the stats don't really point towards this pick if you look at them, but I think if you look at the shorter term form, it does. So that was my thinking on the game. It's over 2.25 goals and it's available at minus 129.
Let's just cover off some Spanish games here before we get the final picks from the boys. Just leans here and nothing else. Steve, we've got two games that we're going to talk about. Atleti against Athletic Club, which is obviously key for top four. Atletico Madrid are minus 625 to make the top four. Athletic Club are plus 350, incidentally. Athletic Club's form has dropped a little bit since that Copa del Rey success. Steve, any sort of leans or angles in here?
Yeah, it's an interesting game, this one. You know, fourth place is on the line. And first thing to say, as I always now check with Bilbao, there is a suspension. The captain is ruled out. Oscar De Marcos is ruled out. That could be a big loss, heartbeat of the team there at right back. And look, I'm going to have to go with the team that has proven before that they can do it, you know, in the past, Atletico de Madrid. They're around about the even money favourites to win the game. They don't have to win it. A draw is not bad, actually, for Atletico, is it? They'd stay 3 points above them. So I think that Bilbao might feel they have to come here and maybe win. So this is a really tough game to predict. It's one of those that you get best weight in running for, really. Could be a tight one, I don't know. Look out for some Instagram content from Rory Barlow. I say each week he's up there on the Instagram channel pre-game, especially the matches in the Madrid area. So he may well come up with something there, the Spanish expert. I would lean towards Atletico Madrid winning by one goal.
Okay. James, you've got a little angle for us for this one. Oh, if you can turn your mic on. There we go.
Yeah, not teams I follow closely, Dan, but I was slightly surprised to see the price on Antoine Griezmann here to score. He's plus 400 to get on the score sheet, and he's got 13 goals in 28 games for Atletico Madrid this season in La Liga. So he's averaging a goal every other game, and the price would suggest he's not scoring at that sort of rate at all. So, yeah, as I say, it's not not two teams I know that well, but Griezmann, obviously, I do. And I just felt, for people who do follow Spanish league football closely, they may want to have a look at that price and dig into it a bit more deeply. But I think plus 400 on the face of it, on his top line stats, is a big price for Griezmann to find the net here.
Just to follow up on that, Antoine Griezmann's played against Athletic Club 32 times in his career and has got 14 goals. That's not a bad yeah. ratio at all, is it? Including a hat-trick a good few years ago now. But even so, Seville Derby, Steve, Betis Sevilla here. Betis the favourite, Sevilla plus 270. But they're probably in the best form that we've seen all season. They've had a shocking campaign, really, but they've found some decent form recently.
I really like the draw here. I don't think that's a word that's been mentioned much on the show all year, is it? I would bet the tie. I think it's at plus 235 with Bet Rivers.
Yeah.
This is a huge derby, to put it into context. It's and this is definitely a match where absolutely throw the form book out the window, throw the stats out the window sort of thing, because this is going to be stop-start. The card line's at 6.5, so we know what's going to happen. There's going to be loads of fouls, possibly a red card involved. The atmosphere is going to be intense. These two sides absolutely hate each other. No one's going to want to get beat, in my opinion. I think Sevilla, they've got nothing to play for, really, in terms of league position. This is probably their most important game remaining for the season now. Betis are obviously in the hunt for Europe. A draw wouldn't be the worst outcome for them. Just don't get beat by your rivals, you know what I mean? I've watched a couple of derbies, actually, across Europe on Wednesday. And, you know, these matches are completely different. If you just look at the Merseyside derby last night, the dynamics completely change. And this is probably an under as well, by the way. I think 8 of the last 10 matches have ended under 2.5 goals, and that's why the goal line set at 2.25. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if it ended 0-0 or 1-1, really, Dan. I think this is going to be... and there's a call for someone there.
Yeah, it's a call for me. Daniele, have you got any angles on this one? Don't want to throw you a low curve on this one because we've not mentioned it before.
No, not really. I'll leave it to the expert. I'll leave it to your caller.
Hang on. I can't find my landline.
It's online.
What's that? Overs. Hang on. Overs for Seville. Unders. Right. Unders. No. Both teams to score? No. Thank you. So that was the selection from whoever was on the phone. We've got three more plays. I'll phone you back, Mom, later. Both teams score, yes. Let's get three more plays, shall we? Because we're running out of time here. We've got three more official picks. They're all overs. They're all on Sunday, 12:30, first of all. Steve, you stay in Spain for this one.
It's been that sort of show, isn't it? I forgot. I actually went walkabout myself early, didn't I? I had the postman came at the door. Where am I? I'm still in Spain. So which means it's got to be one team, hasn't it, for a pick? Villarreal against Rayo Vallecano. Over 2.5 goals. Bet Rivers have dangled a carrot far too big here for me at minus 125. I just think Villarreal are an automatic overs team. They've had the most overs in La Liga this season of anyone. And playing against Rayo Vallecano, who I can't even remember actually having a bet on a Rayo Vallecano game this season in any fashion, because they're not normally a side that go on my radar. They have too many draws. They have too many low-scoring matches. They don't really have an identifiable style. They've actually found a bit of form recently, though, that's got them safe now, really. 34 points on the board, a weird bunch of games, a couple of nil-nils in there. But last week, 2-1 win against Osasuna. I did catch the highlights of this. It was actually not a bad game. So I think they're at the stage now where they're feeling a lot more comfortable about themselves. They might open up a bit. They've been involved, as I say, in a lot of low-scoring games this year. And I think Villarreal will suck them into a nice little shootout here. Villarreal play one way only. I mean, the match last week against Almeria should have ended 2-1 it could have ended at all sorts of daft scores. It's just, you know what you get with Villarreal. They're a very good team to be betting on. So over 2.5 goals at -125. I just thought this line would be way too high.
6:30 for Daniele's game, 6:30 in the morning Eastern. Inter Torino and another overs play, Daniele.
The Scudetto party for Inter, the play is over 2.25 goals, -136. I know these are the two teams that kept the most clean sheets in Serie A, Torino 16, Inter 19, actually Torino 17 and Inter 19. Inter have only conceded once in the first half at home this season. But it is a party, you know, the heads will still be spinning from the win, from the champagne and everything. And there is a parade organized for the afternoon with two buses through Milan. Now, I'm not suggesting Inter are going to throw the game away and give to Torino 3 points. But lately, they've been extremely good this season. They haven't put teams away so consistently as they used to do in October, November, December. There have been a couple of 2-1 wins, etc. So perhaps they can open the door a little bit, let Torino score. But on the other hand, you know, there is Lautaro Martinez who hasn't scored in the last 6 or 7 games. He will be eager. He will take a lot of shots. I think Inter will just going to go for it. And it will be a party, possibly a both team to score, possibly an Asian handicap plus 1.5 and 1.25 for Torino. I'm going to go for over 2.25. 25 goals, -136.
And finally, James, 9 a.m. Sunday for Lorient-Toulouse.
Yes, so I'm going over 2.25 goals on this game, Dan, which is available at -139. I think it's a great chance of lots of goals in this game. Lorient have got the division's worst defensive record. They've actually conceded 10 goals more than any other team in League One this season. It's not through lack of defenders. They play a back four. They play a back three, generally two holding midfielders in front, but they've been defensively really poor this season. So plenty of goals going in to their net recently. And for Toulouse, well, we've mentioned them last week. They're likely to finish in mid-table. They seem to be enjoying the fact there's a bit of pressure off them. We saw them draw 2-2, as we've said, against Marseille last weekend. And they've been a great shout now for quite some time on the overs market. If you go back to the start of February, 11 matches since then, 9 of them for Toulouse have had over 2.5 goals, and those 11 games have averaged more than 3 goals a game. So I think, as I say, really good chance here of goals. I've gone on the over 2.25 goals line, which is at -139. Slightly conservative. If you fancy over 2.5 goals, that's at -104. I wouldn't talk anybody out of that either.
If you want to roll up the boys' overs place on Sunday for a parlay, it returns just over 4-1 at +437. That's Villarreal against Rayo Vallecano over 2.5, and then Inter Torino and Lorient to lose both over 2.25 goals. Steve, Daniele, James, thanks for your company. Good luck to one and all. We'll keep everyone updated over the course of the weekend via our X feeds. That's a wrap for Betting Weekly. Extra Time European show. We'll be back next week for more picks, plays, hot dogs, and the usual mix. Follow us at Because We Win and subscribe to our YouTube channel. From all of us for now, though, it is goodbye.